Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown are made for Melbourne. The Chrissy, Sam, and Brownie podcast.
Yes, we are lamenting the loss, of course, of Sam Pang until next Wednesday while he's in Eurovision, but we are celebrating Tony Martin, who we have here.
Tone.
Thanks, guys. Sam Pang has been emailing me to say, have you been mentioning enough terrible old movies that nobody remembers? And Dino was just saying, what did you watch last night?
The Godfather 3, which is The Pits.
Oh, that's worse than Grease 2 and Weekend at Bernie's 2 combined.
Grease 2, I remember that. I remember Reproduction. I'm the only one who's seen it, aren't I?
No one in history has ever sung a song from Grease 2 outside of the movie itself.
Really?
Did you make that up then?
I made history, didn't I, then? I made history.
I thought Rocky 5 was a letdown, Tone.
Really?
Yeah.
Not as good as Rocky IV?
Well, we could talk about this all day. We could talk about all this all day, but we've got so much more to get to. Yes. Tony Martin, please. We're so delighted to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Sam Pang, just stay over there. Welcome. Are you on the... Is everyone here on the twit pipe on the Twitter?
Yes, on the twit pipe.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
I'm at Mr. Tony Martin, so that you don't get the German cyclist who I'm just constantly confused with, even in real life.
And Sam Pang is also Mr. Sam Pang.
Yeah, well, he's just copying everything, isn't he?
He is copying you.
But look, I had an amazing thing happen last night in that I had a dog which I share custody of with my ex-wife, Bea, the Labrador, and she sadly passed away last week at the age of 17. Oh, is that a record?
Wow. Good stint. No, it's not a record. We interviewed the dog owner had a 29-year-old dog last week on the show, but 17's a good knock.
17's good. I had my old dog lasted to 17.
Wow.
That's a lot of years. Like, a lot happens in that time.
Oh, a lot of food if you're a Labrador owner.
Yes, or a Corgi Cross owner, yes.
They revealed some genetic information last week, didn't they, that the Labrador has no off switch and cannot stop eating. I always talk about my dog being like a coffee table, you know, when you get the flat back.
So do I. I could actually balance a cup and saucer on her back.
It's. I always say when mug rings start appearing, that's when there's a large ashtray and a fan of magazines, it's time to get them on the diet.
A fan of magazines.
But
I love it.
But no, so I mentioned this on, and of course, when a Labrador dies at 17, it is like when someone dies at 105. It's sad, but it's kind of amazing that it went that long.
Mm.
But I just had an amazing outpouring of people getting onto Twitter and Labrador lovers. It was quite incredible. Because normally I just get abuse and demands for which DVD of this film is in the correct aspect ratio. It's the kind of nerdish stuff I get.
Bless. R.I.P. B.
Well, the thing is, as I said, because Cal Wilson sent me some condolences, and as I said to her...
Now, Cal Wilson is a massive cat lady.
She's on the other... Well, I sort of go on both sides with cat and dog.
She's a rival.
But, and she's got the... she's one of those New Zealanders who's retained the accent.
Yes, hasn't
she? That's the thing you can do now. But not in my day. Not in my day, no. You had to learn to talk...
properly.
I had to lock myself in a room and watch Sons and Daughters for 2 weeks.
Oh, what a great show. I'd love to lock myself in the room and watch Sons and Daughters.
Just for hours and hours of saying things like, Beryl, I've contacted the solicitors.
Is that why you sound like Phelpsy?
I sound like, what a great thing to sound like Phelpsy. But, so people were just, it was a massive pile-on of love for dog owners. But Cal, I had to tell Cal that it's fine because my dog will live on in hundreds of establishing shots in Australian television shows because my ex-wife is what's called a first assistant director.
Yes.
She works on Please Like Me, that show, Time of Our Lives. So there is literally, in the archives, hundreds of episodes of shows where, you know, how they'll cut to a shot of a building.
Yes.
And then you'll hear some talking and then you cut inside that building.
Yes.
Over the shot of the building, my dog just running through shots.
Just a random dog.
She will live forever.
I need to do a package of those.
Montage.
What are we doing, Tone? Are we funeral? Cremation?
Yeah.
A funeral? Is that a dog funeral?
A burial?
Well,
someone like B probably deserves something.
Yeah, the trouble is you have to invite a lot of other Labradors, and then the catering bill is so many croutons.
Get more Chrissy, Sam, and Brownie on Facebook and Instagram. Made for Melbourne. Nova.
Got a little bit of a nice... A little bit of a nice surprise yesterday when we delved deeper into our Tony Martin's back catalogue, it's fair to say.
Yes.
And I found out that he's quite a good impersonator.
Did you like us delving into your back catalogue, Tony
Well,
Martin?
It's a pretty sort of, it's a sorry bag of impressions.
Oh, it is.
I'm trying
not.
To get some new ones going. What about this for Luke McGregor?
Okay.
Girls.
That's my Luke.
It's so good.
That's my Luke McGregor.
That was very good.
So
but the key with impressions is not to be the best, it's to be the first. So I do maintain that in 1990 I was not the best, but the first person to do Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And I'm going to back you up there.
Before it was a cliche.
And now, yeah, now everyone's like, oh, yeah. Buck. Everyone gives it a crack.
It's like Christopher Walken. You know, is there any? I want to meet the person who doesn't do a Christopher Walken.
Yes.
Well, it was fantastic. And you gave us a glimpse yesterday. Yeah, you know he's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Do you realise the real Arnold Schwarzenegger is actually a friend of the show?
Yeah. Is that true?
He's a friend of the show. I'm going to go through a few questions today, Tone. I'm going to grill you.
Okay.
And we've got the real Arnie in here.
To
critique your performance.
Come in, Arnie.
Come in, Arnie.
Yeah, good morning. Hey.
Hello. I know that you're on some sort of retainer and you don't like it when we call you, but we do have 23 calls a year.
You fly me down here.
I know.
And then all of a sudden you're doing breakfast as well for free with the company. You have an amazing sales team. What's going on with this company?
I'm sorry.
The budget's out of control.
Okay, Tony Arnie.
Yes.
I'm going to call you Tony Arnie.
Yeah, it's an obscure name, but yeah, go on.
Tony Arnie, Terminator 2 was judged as your greatest film ever. Do you agree with that, Tony Arnie?
I think that Twins was the best one.
Twins was the best. I like that you referenced Twins. Is there any resemblance between Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito's character and myself and Sam Pang?
No, the problem is that we stole the idea from Rhonda Birchmore. We're being sued.
Outstanding. What do you think
about
that, Arnie?
That's pretty cool. What do you think, real Arnie?
You know, it's not bad. You know, I have a lot of people going, I can do you. And he's like, yeah, come on, let's hear it. But it sounds a little like me, but with a cold. It's a little nasally.
It's like you, but with a slight New Zealand accent.
Yeah, a little bit. Sounds like when I'm lying in bed all sick and, you know, and don't know what to do. But
who would be looking after you when you're all sick like that?
Well, not the nanny anymore. Not her.
You stuff well, that well,
Danny well, DeVito actually comes in. He's fine because he's eye level with me when I'm standing next to the bed.
He doesn't look like me. It didn't work.
We're back on Twins.
Yeah, but they're making a sequel with Eddie Murphy. That's a little plug for me.
Yeah. Tony, are you happy?
I like the real ladies.
Tony Arnie likes the real ladies.
Yeah, the cold's kicking in quite a bit with that one. I didn't hear it.
Outstanding, Tone.
It's dueling Arnie.
How would you go in the gym? Of course, Arnie was made famous through Pumping Iron. That was his first real film after winning Mr. Universe countless times. But I look at you, Tone, and you don't really have the build of a Mr. Universe.
I am constantly working out by watching Blu-ray DVDs in the correct aspect ratio.
Well, I hope you're watching some of your films. What is your greatest line in the movies, your favourite line?
Give me your clothes. No, sorry, that is what I said to my personal assistant.
Okay, so real Arnie, how's Tony Arnie going on this?
Yeah, not bad, you know, it's fine. The Terminator reference of Give Me Your Clothes, but he didn't get the fantastic DVD reference of Pumping Iron, but he had also did the Rio Carnival Tourist DVD, where I do pump muscles. It was fantastic. You've got to see that.
I also do impressions. I do Frank Spencer from the 1970s.
Okay.
Oh, Betty, I've had a bit of trouble.
Oh, outstanding.
I've got no idea what that is.
I didn't think we got...
Is that an Australian thing?
The planes. That is my Dan Osamas.
Tone, I've got a quick one. I've got a quick one for you.
Please,
do you believe, Tone, that Captain Ivan Danko from Red Heat, of course, the famous 1988 Arnold Schwarzenegger film, Red Heat,
good movie.
His main character, Captain Ivan Danko, was that a rip-off from Ivan Drago from Rocky IV?
Well, the problem is that we didn't want Dolph Lundgren to play that role of Ivan. It was supposed to be Dame Judi Dench. Oh,
that's crazy. That's ridiculous. No, it's completely not original. It's an original name. Everyone had the same name in Russia in the 90s. That's war.
Very good. Thank you, boys. Chrissy Swan, Sam
Pang, and Jonathan Brown. Okay, so get ready. Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
I love Survivor, and I was so excited to find out that Channel 10 are doing a local version. Not a weird local version, like a proper good local version. And they've just all headed over to Samoa to begin filming.
Brendan Favola?
It's not Celebrity Survivor.
Not Rhonda Birchmore?
No. It is not Celebrity. It's normal people.
It's real people.
You know, the first winner of Australian Survivor, Rob Dixon, used to play for Hawthorn and Brisbane. I knew him quite well. Tragically, he's passed away. But
won
the first ever Survivor a long time ago, actually.
Oh, God. There hopefully it's not that hard. Anyway, we have got the new host, the controversial new host, because I was sure it was going to be Jamie Durie. But it wasn't. It's Jonathan LaPaglia, and we caught up with him. We asked him all sorts of questions like this one. Now, Jonathan LaPaglia, you are an actor as well as a host, and we hear that you were an emergency room guy in Adelaide, a doctor, a proper whiz-bang proper guy that saves lives. Now,
right.
Did you...
Now
did
look
you,
at me.
Now look at you.
Yeah.
You're bringing shame to your family, LaPaglia. Know.
I've been bringing shame to my family for the last 20 years. Are you kidding?
Did you become a doctor because your parents were like, you've got to get a proper profession before you go into that namby-pamby acting stuff?
Right. No, honestly, I didn't know what I wanted to be. And to be honest, I'd signed up for fine arts at university, and they give you a week to change your mind. And for some reason, I did. I don't even know why I did. But I had more buddies going into medicine than anything else, and I kind of found myself in medicine.
Very obviously a famous acting brother as well, so Anthony LaPaglia, of course. But you do have a third brother. Now, to put this into context, we're having a laugh the other day. We're talking about Liam Hemsworth and Chris Hemsworth, and they actually have a brother who's a bit of a short ass, isn't he, Dino?
Yeah.
Your brother, your
I've worked
third
with him
brother.
Too. He's a great guy.
your third
what's
brother.
What's the other Hemsworth? Is he Luke, is he? No.
Yes.
Luke, yeah, the little one.
Yeah.
Your third brother is a car salesman in Los Angeles.
Correct, yes.
Talk to us about this lost LaPaglia. Who is he?
We don't really know. We think that he, the milkman might have something to do with him.
So, hang on, so all three of you have gone to the States to kick off your careers. Is that what happened there?
Yes, so to speak.
Now, Jonathan, it'd be remiss of me not to ask you this.
Here
I
it
ask
comes.
All the actors, and
here
of course, you've starred in many a TV series.
Oh, the tribe is about to speak.
Oh, no.
How do you remember your lines?
He's really asking you.
Give me a bit more than Samuel L. Jackson when I asked him this.
What did he say?
He just said, it's me job.
It's me job. Yeah. Well, see, I'm worried about this one because there are no lines. And that's, you know, so I'm feeling a bit naked on this one.
Oh, tell me, come on. You've got the chambray shirt on alone in your hotel room going, Survivor's ready. Oh, my God.
I've got to get into this Jonathan LaPaglia character.
Got nothing for you.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We cannot wait for it to start on 10. We're pumped.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to get there and get going.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Are you in the Thermomix cult?
It is a cult.
Man, it is a cult.
I had to do an episode of Upper Middle Bogan where they had the Thermomix party.
Yeah.
You know, which is like the the sex toy party, but the food version of that. And it was like the Thermomix was carried in like on a chair like the Pope. People were just in wonder and amazement at what it could do.
It is an amazing appliance. There is no doubt about it.
You've got one at home. They're fantastic.
I had one and I did not use it. I made soup once.
But you are a great chef, Chrissy Swan. Is a Thermomix, you don't use it out of pride because you don't need it. You're such a good chef.
I don't think it's pride-based. I think this is controversial. I don't think stuff tastes as good when you make it in the Thermomix as opposed to on the stovetop.
Oh.
I know.
Pumpkin soup was good last night.
I know it's good, but I feel like it's better when you make it from scratch. I don't know, but it's in the news again, the Thermomix. You've got to be very careful. It's 18 people have been injured by them.
In a Thermomix accident, single accident.
It's like a...
flying carrots, it's like, wound seven.
They're burnt. These people are burnt. They're like, it's like a gremlin. Don't feed it after midnight. It's living in your kitchen.
Whereas, see, the old, you know, my attitude is if it can't be done in the Canberra toaster sandwich maker, the Canberra Tamworth, I was about to say, it's much too early. That's a festival where they sing songs about the about making sandwiches.
Sandwiches. But man. No, I agree. I am... an appliance is actually my favourite thing in the world. Right. I have everything. Don't I, Brownie? I've got everything. So, of course, I thought...
No room on your bench.
I thought the Thermomix is going to be right up my alley, but in the end I sold it to a mum from school for a holiday house. Heath from Edith Vale, your wife is in it. She's in it deep, is she, Heath?
She is well and truly in. She's been in burning for 3 years, so she's fully badged.
what's she got there that makes you know that she's in it?
She initially she said, oh, I'm not going to go to the party, they're too expensive, I don't want to spend all that money on an appliance, but I'll just go and have a look. She came home and said, oh, I want to buy one there. What are they, like $3,000 or some ridiculous thing?
I think they're about two, but you can get accessories. Like, they've got a little sleeping bag that you put them in at night. You can get that. I'm not joking. You've got that. You've got the sleeping bag.
We've even got the knife set.
The knife set. Have you got the Thermomix monitor that lets you watch it while it's sleeping?
No. We haven't got that yet. Hopefully she's not listening.
Wow.
And it does a lot more things than you would think, doesn't it? Like, I was told you could put an undone Rubik's Cube in there, press a button, it comes out completed. Yes. And delicious.
Yes, you can. You know, I was one of the lucky ones. I managed to escape. Mm. I managed to escape, but it is a cult. 13, 24, 10, are you in it? Tracy from Longwarry, talk to me about the Thermomix.
Hi, guys. Look, my daughter-in-law sells them, but she did it because my granddaughter, Sadie, is allergic to nuts. So she knows exactly what goes in Sadie's food. Exactly.
But right, why does scratch. She need a thermo? Isn't it $2,000?
I think they're just over $2,000, 2,000 something. But, well, Sadie's been to hospital a few times, so she knows right, even from making icing sugar, she makes it from raw sugar.
So it has some kind of nut detection facility in there. How does... I'm sorry, surely the answer is don't put nuts into things. But you need the Thermomix to act as a kind of middleman.
Well, yeah, right. it was a middleman, but she bought a cake mix that didn't say anything about nuts on it because she has to read everything. And next thing you know, Sadie's in hospital.
Right. Wow. But how does the Thermomix stop that happening? It sort of just goes, whoa, hang on.
No, she makes it all from scratch herself now.
She makes everything. Her bread, everything. Pizza bases. A lot.
It's sort of, I love the idea of it, and I think that's where they get you at these party plans is that you, because I've been into one of those things before, and you go, yes, I want to be the sort of woman that mills her own flour.
Yeah.
I want to be that woman. I want to go and buy raw sugar from a co-op and make my own icing sugar.
Well, that is the one setting that we wouldn't have used at home, the milling setting.
You haven't used that?
You haven't used that. You use the smoothing setting. You use the cooking setting, Chrissy Swan, but the milling setting, probably don't need it at our house.
What sort of stuff do you make, Brownie, in the thermi?
Soup.
Okay, so you heard of a saucepan?
Soup. No, yeah. It's a lot easier in the thermi because you put in risotto, which is very difficult in the saucepan.
Again, have you heard, it's not difficult in the saucepan.
Well, you have to stand there and you have to stir it. The Thermomix does it for you. Yeah. When you've got 20, you're busy, you need to go up and bath the kids, and you have the risotto cooking at the same time, mate.
They fight all the time, Tony.
Yeah,
there you go.
I love hearing an argument about milling. Should we mill? To mill or not to mill? I don't know. Does this have a milling setting? I'm not interested otherwise. All right, I'll buy one of those and two crates of edible underpants as well.
Donna from Narre Warren, talk to me about the thermi.
Hi, guys. Well, I'm a bit, I have to say, I never thought I'd agree with Brownie, but he's spot on.
Yes. Good on you, Donzie.
You are in deep, aren't you, Donzie?
We're in deep, darling. We're so deep, there's no way out. I've got one. My sister's got one. My mum's a consultant. And let me tell you, we love it. We use it every day from, the risotto, the soup, the making our own pizza dough, grinding ice, whatever. And you know what Brownie just said? I mean, I'm a corporate person. We're flat out. We come home from work, go to gym or do stuff. And then while you're having a shower, it's making risotto.
Okay, so what have I missed? Because
I'm a corporate person as well. I've done a few cashies. Talking to the corporate people.
A few sheets for that. Donzie, talk to me, because you know I had one and I sold it at a greatly reduced price for a friend's holiday house.
Tell me, I would have bought it.
Tell me, what am I missing? Why don't I get it?
Well, look, I agree with you in the point that there's, you know, something wholesome about standing over the stove and stirring your soup. But me, I'd rather be multitasking, right? So I think it's still fresh. It's all fresh food. You control what you put in the food, but you have the ability to put stuff in and then and use your time more wisely. Go and play with the kids or, you know, pay some bills or something.
Chrissy wouldn't understand that. She's got her butler cooking stuff like this. So,
I wish.
Hey, Chrissy, I would justify, though, $2,000 for the thermi, but if you use it every single day for the last 3 years like we have at home, I would justify that it's better value for money than, say, a juicer that you may have spent $100 on and you've used once.
Yeah, Chrissy, think about all the hours you're wasting milling things by hand.
Oh, my gosh.
That you could be spending having a shower.
Tony Martin, I hate myself for my opinions.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
It's a good day. It's a good day for all. We are joined, of course, by the beautiful Tony Martin while Sam Pang is in Eurovision.
Yes.
Is anyone interested in Eurovision here? Is anyone going to be watching it apart from Sam Pang? I am.
Yeah, I better watch it. It'll be the first time. Because now we're working with Pang. We've got to support him, Chrissy Swan, like we did with your TV show last night. But you did reference the weather before, Chrissy, and I'm interested in Tony Martin, who walks the streets of Melbourne every day. He's attempting to walk every street in Melbourne.
That's
he started
right.
7 years ago.
I'm me and the missus are 7 years into a project to attempt to walk both sides of every street in Melbourne. It's quite a big project.
That is extraordinary.
I'm going to go into detail next week because it's something, every time I talk about this, people get addicted to it and then people are getting old Melways and crossing the streets off themselves.
You are going to have to live longer than your Labrador.
It is because you think you're doing well and then you look at how big Melbourne is and you're going, right, I am going to have to live to 300.
Yeah, I know.
I was down in St Kilda yesterday and what I noticed about St Kilda is if you're walking up the street and you're not talking to yourself, you are nobody in that
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Yes. Tony Martin's in.
I am, and I have to say, recently on this show, I referred to the Big Men store in Darwin, and people thought I was lying about the name of that shop, which is now, I believe, defunct. Just play a bit of that ad.
Don't miss the Portly Gentleman's annual Darwin City Wipeout Sale. A must for the Portly Gentleman. Cavanagh Street, Darwin.
I mean, just why not just call it the Fat Bastard, honestly? Here in Melbourne, we call it Solway or something that's not kind of insulting.
Absolutely.
The Portly Gentleman. Imagine working there. The Portly Gentleman.
I think we've got one called High and Mighty, Big and Tall.
Yeah, well, see, that's not, you know,
the
that's
Portly
not...
Gentleman.
Yes. So that is a real shock. I have to say, yesterday we were playing this advertising jingle.
Don't risk your chance. Don't risk your pants. No. Take a chance.
And older people will remember the extremely graphic commercial on the TV that went with that where Alan Mance's clothes were torn off by
by fishing wire.
And I had all the people from Alan Mance, which is still going, across the bridge, is it not?
Yes, in Footscray.
That's right.
Still selling a Holden Calais.
And I think Alan might be getting sort of on a bit to have the clothes torn off. I suggest they do what? I remember going to see James Brown on New Year's Eve. In San Francisco in about 1996, and it was the hardest working cummerbund in show business. And it was getting to the bit where he's going to have to do the splits, and everyone's going, oh, how's this going to work? And what he did was he just went and leaned on a piano while four hot chicks in American flag bikinis came out and did all the splits on his behalf.
Oh, it was so splits by proxy.
This is what Elements has to do, I think, for the ads, is just get, you know, models have it. That's surely how it'll work now.
Brownie would totally volunteer to have his pants torn off in lieu of Alan Mance.
Well, models are doing the splits around me.
No models, just you and Alan Mance.
He's just picturing it. You can see him picturing that as a career option.
My pubic bone is hurting talking about doing the splits.
So is mine.
Okay. Now, just... there's a lot of shaking heads in this studio. How did you injure your pubic bone? Call us now. But I just... Finally, on the topic of ads, one of my... If you watch a lot of 10 Play, you know 10 Play?
Yes, I do.
And you have to sit through... there's one particular ad that comes on all the time. Can we just play it now?
G'day, I'm Very Football, and people always say to me, do you really eat light and easy? And the answer is yes, I do eat it. I've been eating light and easy for 5 or 6 years. Obviously, it doesn't leave a lot of time in the rest of the day for even the most basic activities, because I'm always eating light and easy. The fellas say, mate, when are you coming back to training? It's been 5 or 6 years. Do you do anything but just eat light and easy? Yeah, it's a pretty full schedule. Just bowl after bowl after bowl after bowl of light and easy. It's very hard to drive because I'm always eating light and easy. The few precious moments of the day when I'm not eating light and easy are spent heating up some more light and easy. I have mastered a method of eating light and easy while I'm asleep. Each one of these individual grabs of me speaking have been cut together from sentences I've said in between mouthfuls of light and easy. So please, people, stop asking me if I really do eat light and easy, because you are selfishly cutting into time that I could be using to knock back yet another bowl of light and easy. Oh, I really need a drink. Do Light and Easy do, like, bourbon and coke?
I am just sick of hearing that ad. Stop, please. Put it in the thermomix.
One man, many questions, 100% honesty.
I wouldn't expect anything less from the Brisbane Lions captain.
Have all the answers.
I run on me face.
Ask Brownie.
I don't run on me face. Brownie Martin, is that the first time you've heard that piece of wisdom?
I've written it down. Look at that in pen. I was told to come up with a question for Brownie, and I was going to say, who's your favourite post-impressionist painter? But instead, what I'm going to do is, here's what I genuinely want to know. Sam Pang, in what kind of regard is he held as a footballer by footballers? Because he did play football, didn't he? He did.
In the, what was he, under-19s Collingwood?
That's right. His nickname was the Orchid, because he only performed when it's still in 22.
Right.
The Orchid.
The Orchid. But he's referred to, or commonly known as, a mercenary.
Right.
And a sheepdog.
Hang on, so he's the Orchid, the mercenary, and the sheepdog.
That's right.
Isn't that a breakfast show? Isn't that one of our rivals? Yeah, with the Orchid, the mercenary, and the sheepdog. Ask a Sheepdog is next.
Oh, my God.
Written all those down. So there you go. Three nicknames.
That's a lot for someone that played football for about 7.5 minutes.
If you've got three nicknames, you're overcompensating for something, aren't you?
Yes, you are.
All right, let's go to the phone. 13-24-10. What is your question for our darling Brownie? This is a juicy one, Dee. What's your question?
Hi, Chrissy, Brownie.
Tony.
And Tony.
Yes. Hello.
I'm a big Sam Pang fan. Sorry, mate.
Oh, so you're dead to her, Tony. You're dead to her.
You're just having a go at me because you're calling from Dingley and I was making fun of the Dingley powerhouse. I know what's going on.
My partner of 3.5 years now is really, really good friends with a girl he was sleeping with before we were together. Oh. And I don't know whether it's cause for alarms or not, or whether I should say something or bring it up, because as of recently they've been doing a lot of, you know, one-on-one coffee dates and that kind of stuff.
Great
and I
question.
Just don't know whether I should worry or not.
All right, Brownie, should Dee worry about her partner spending too much time with someone he used to have a thing with?
Initially, right off the bat, I would say yes. Dee, have you spoke to him about this?
Early on in the relationship, yeah.
How long ago did you bring it up with him?
Like, it would have been in the first few months. I was like, you know, who's that? I'm not 100% comfortable with the situation. But then I met her and we were hanging out all together and she's not, like, touchy-feely or anything and she never brought it up, so I was okay with it. But now it's 2.5 years later and they're just starting to hang out a bit more than I would like.
What do they do when they're hanging out?
Well, I've heard this whole relationship is known as the Dingley Triangle. That's what I've heard. It's a lot of talk.
Chrissy, we are not making light of your situation
Chrissy,
at all.
Right. I'm going to need some help here, Chrissy Swan.
Yep. I want to help. I'm itching.
Well, you help. I'm calling for your help. I know this is Ask Brownie.
It is Ask Brownie. But you, why don't you put yourself inside the mind of Dee's boyfriend? So imagine if you had a girlfriend and you'd been going out for 3.5 years, but you were still catching up with a girl that you had once had a fling with. What is your motivation, Brownie? Is everything above board? Are you keeping a finger in every pie, so to speak?
Well, no, I suppose it's different. If he is mates, if they are genuinely
good mates.
That was
an unfortunate turn of phrase, but you know what I mean.
A finger in every pie. Mm. What sort of pie?
Shush. Okay. A 4 and 20 pie.
He's just thinking about pies. Yeah. He's just thinking about pies.
Oh, my God.
I would think I probably wouldn't do it myself, Chrissy Swan. But if there's nothing untoward, I suppose it is all right. But it's important that your boyfriend, Dee, is very open and honest. So I would constantly ask him, not constantly ask him, I would bring it up again and just query him. Say, look, there's been an escalation in your activities with your former partner, and that is troubling me. You better are being transparent, open and honest, and then you won't have any surprises.
I love that, Dee. In a nutshell, Brownie says, get all SVU on his ass.
Will do. I think that's good. I mean, we're usually open and honest in every other aspect, but I don't want to be that girlfriend that pesters him about hanging out with girls.
Yeah,
that's not the kind of relationship we have.
Well, that's right. Yeah, good on you, Dee. All the best for that. That's all I can help. All the help I can give you.
Gut instinct is a powerful thing. That's all I'm going to say. Alyssa from Doncaster. Hi. Hello, Alyssa.
Hi. How are you?
Yeah, we are rocking out. What is your question for Brownie?
Do you like Five Sauce or One Direction better?
Whoa, controversial.
Oh. It's not controversial. One Direction.
Hey.
One Direction. I have been to a One Direction concert, and I've met Niall, of course. And Niall has worn my football jumper on stage. Chrissy Swan, you back me up here?
Alyssa, he's definitely a One Direction fan. He's a directioner, even. Yeah. Do you judge him for his choices now, Alyssa?
Well, I like Five Sauce better myself, so...
Yeah, but did you love One Direction first, though, and then you moved to Five Sauce?
No, not really.
Five Sauce are rip-off merchants.
Rip-off merchants. No, goodbye, Alyssa.
Good music, though. That's all right, in case we play them on this station.
So, Waves Brown, that's going to cause some controversy.
Oh, my God.
But
Mary.
Whoever's wearing the jumper he likes. That's...
Tone, you must be a massive fan of Five Sauce.
Yes. Is that something you can make in a Thermomix? I'm confused.
Something you get at Bunnings on the weekend.
Get my keys and get back in.
Oh, hello. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
How's Leafy Baldwin this morning, Mary?
It looks like it's going to rain, but otherwise it's pretty good, nice and cool outside.
It's going to rain.
How are you guys? I love your show.
It's going to rain money, isn't it?
Come on, Mayors, what do you got?
Okay, my question to you, Brownie, is what is the best exercise for women over 40?
Walking, easily. Walking keeps you in the correct heart rate zone to keep yourself trim because about over the age of 35, it is harder and harder to get rid of fat. And this is in males and females.
I agree.
And the best is to walk because that keeps you in a lower heart rate zone, which helps strip fat off quicker than actually going for a run or doing higher...
And it's good for your brain. Mary, are you a walker?
Well, I normally do cycling and things like pump, but now I think I prefer to do walking. That's excellent.
Walking's good. Put the headphones in, listen to our podcast every day. That'll get you through.
Great idea.
Walk to Columbo's Pizza Parlour on Whitehorse Road and get a Kerbin Brothers, shouldn't you?
Kerbin Brothers. Just get the medium size, though.
Thanks, Mary.
Ask Brownie. I think you did great, mate. Congratulations. 24 past 8. It's Chrissy, Sam and Brownie.
Lots in there. Yeah. Lots of good stuff in there, Brownie.
Bit deep, though. D. D certainly sat me back on my heels early. Nova, Chrissy Swan,
Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown. Okay, so get ready. Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
So here's something to look forward to. If you've got a village voucher lying around in the bottom of your handbag, you can spend it at Paris Hilton's movie. She's currently pitching a documentary in Cannes or Cannes or Cannes.
Yes. Is it a sequel to The Hottie or The Knotty? Remember that classic? Has that been remastered for HD? Do you know, Dino?
I'm praying that it has.
It's maybe a prequel to One Night in Paris, her 2004 movie. Now, that was a dirty movie, and that's really how we
What was the bloke's name, the boyfriend's name in that? It wasn't Millsy.
Yeah. There were no credits at the end. That was annoying, wasn't it?
Who was the dolly grip on that, anyway?
The dolly grip.
So apparently,
no, the dolly grip was a move that was actually used in that video.
Great dolly grip. Anyway, I'm interested to know, and you know, I want to know if you're interested as well. She's built an alleged fortune of $1.5 billion, which easily dwarfs Kim Kardashian's $85 million estate. Well, she's also launched 19 perfumes, 50 shops, and she 50 shots minimum. And she also moonlights as a DJ in Ibiza.
19 perfumes.
Yes.
Like, just settle on one. Get it right.
My God.
are these celebrities with their fragrances, are they in the lab themselves with the test tubes, actually?
I think they want you to believe that.
Right.
And I know we can ask Jackie Gillies from Real Housewives of Melbourne, right, who's waiting outside the studio, because her colleague, Gina Liano, has just launched a fragrance. We'll be able to get the skinny on that.
Isn't Brownie working on a fragrance just called Brownie?
That'd be good.
By Lanthory.
Oh, my God.
Brownie by Lanthory.
Yes. Okay, we're going to write an ad for Brownie by Lanthory. So in Spice Girls news, because I know that you've been desperate for it, Melanie Brown has said that she would love Adele to join the Spice Girls. Duh, Fred. Who wouldn't?
She would, Karen.
If you were a bunch of washed-up old hacks, wouldn't you want Adele
Then they actually might turn the microphones on if she was on
That's
there.
That's true.
But what a stupid article.
Whoa.
Hey, settle down.
Whoa. I've lost it. I've gone wrong.
What's her character then? What could be Adele's character?
Classy Spice. Talented Spice.
This is a first.
Oh my God.
Talented Spice.
Jackie Gillies. She's got a saying. Shine, shine, shine. The last person who came up with saying something three times and famous for it was this guy.
Grand style. Where in Brunswick and Footscray.
She's on the Real Housewives of Melbourne. Wife of Silverchair drummer Ben Gillies has a vodka-flavoured tea, and that's about it.
Megalo.
Here's Jackie.
Jackie Gillies.
Hi, everybody.
Shine.
Well, I'm definitely shining this morning. Are you?
Yes, I'm always shining.
Except for your toe. You got a crooked toe at the moment.
I do, actually. Pedicure, sometimes you've got to be careful where you go to. And, you know, I was going to a person that I thought was quite five-star, and maybe they weren't so quite five-star, but we won't name names.
Is this going to be an episode, do you think? Maybe a whole series.
Well, Chrissy just told me sometimes it can take a few weeks to clear up. I'm like, oh my God.
This is a riveting conversation. However, let's get on to Real Housewives of Melbourne. I'm addicted to it. I cannot wait for the reunion on Sunday. The reunion shows poor old Alex Perry completely ineffective trying to herd you hissing viper snakes on that show, but it's great viewing, and this one apparently is next level cray cray.
Yeah, you know what? I think there needs to be some kind of resolution, and when you've got all the women together and we're all quite opinionated, and you've got one person over here not acknowledging what's been said, and
that's Lydia for those playing at home.
And I think what people don't understand too, Chrissy, is there's a lot of stuff that happens off camera. So when you're filming 12 to 13 hours sometimes a day, all you're seeing is quite little, like just little snippets of conversation. So you might see me saying something, or you might see somebody else saying something. You just see a grab, but you don't actually get to effectively probably see the conversations that have been going on for hours prior to that.
You fully snapped in the finale
episode.
Yeah,
I was very pushed to look, I will admit it. I really was pushed to my limits. A lot of things, again, were happening off camera. And Cheek's a very good friend of mine. Janet's a very good friend of mine. And if somebody goes after my friends maliciously off camera, then, you know, I'm just going to hit you with the truth. And I think at the end of the day, I don't think anybody really has a right to, you know, bring other people's families and what have you. And even independently of me being on the show, you know, it's come out that, you know, that she has been gossiping for years.
It's turning, I've heard this. It's getting ugly. Look, I have to say reunion.
It's not getting that ugly. What about my fertility test and my 23-year-old eggs, darling?
We're getting to that in the next segment. It's happening on air.
Yeah, and my husband's sack full of Phelps.
Okay.
Hey. Yes, baby.
Hello, sack full.
What's in the mystery sack? Give us a call. I just think that for these reunion shows, the bar has been set by Brett Michaels' Rock of Love. Don't you think? Yes. Remember when he would have a reunion show?
Oh my God.
And there'd just be women going at each other, and the only way he could calm them was to sing "Every Rose Has Its Thorn." Every time. Every episode has this song.
It was a great moment in reality TV.
When you're not filming, do you girls stay away from each other and you thaw out, or you just catch up socially?
Do you know what? In all seriousness, I actually hate all the negativity. I'm a very positive person, and like I said, this season I really, like, if somebody hurts my family or friends, I will probably come charging.
But how do you do the show then? Are you coming back?
You know what? It really, well, nobody knows who's coming back. So anybody making announcements that they're coming back are probably the ones that aren't coming back. But just saying. But all I'm going to say is that nobody knows, because we're all up for contracts. And at the end of the day, I actually enjoy doing the show. I don't enjoy the negativity. And there is a lot of fun things that happen.
Right.
So you've got to understand, we can't control what's edited. We can't control what's on the show. All we get to see is a week before it comes to air of what's being put on there. So, you know, there's so much. Like the Dubai trip, you know, hanging out with the girls and having a laugh. Some of those scenes get cut out that we don't get to see.
Yeah.
I do have a lot of fun. I do.
Maybe, okay. Are we done with Jackie Gillies?
No, I tell you what, you can give me a clip here or a drive by if you want, Jackie. But I'm sitting at home watching on Sunday night and with my wife Collie, and you are a really acclaimed psychic, I say, and you went through Susie's, I suppose, her background and some of the things she can look forward to going forward.
She's very
accurate.
We're
sitting down and Kyle goes, watch this. This is amazing. My wife, Kyle, this is amazing. And as soon as you start going into Susie's past, it was quite accurate. I said, oh, the cynic in me came out. I said, the producers have teed her up. They've given her the background of Susie.
No, darling.
And they've filled her in.
No.
But you were quite accurate with all of this stuff. Is that a gift or something you can train for?
No, first of all, I've never trained for it. Second of all, nobody's ever given me information about people's past, present, or future. And I would never do that. I've been doing readings. I mean, I had a 3-year waiting list well before I even started the show. So that was one of the reasons I was asked to do the show. Now, since doing the show, there's probably 10,000 people trying to get in. But what I've done is now I've removed that waiting list and I've gone back to doing what I'd love doing, and that is readings.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying that and I'm really loving it. But no, that just doesn't happen. I believe every single human being psychic. I believe psychic awareness is your intuition and it's how far you open up to it. But I just have the connection where I'm able to connect very clearly and concisely to the other side.
Before we let you go, can we do a quick word association for the girls on the Real Housewives of Melbourne? All right, hit it. Susie.
Oh, she's a
one word.
She's a daggy MILF.
That's daggy two. MILF. Gamble.
She cracker.
She's a ripper, isn't she?
Yeah.
Pettifleur.
Who?
Chica.
Bestie.
Janet.
Bestie and pisser.
Gina.
Laughable. Makes me laugh.
Last but not least, Lydia.
Silence.
Is that it?
Not even, you can't even give her a word.
So, you know, it's not that I can't give her a word. I just think at the end of the day, untruthful. There we go.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for joining us at the reunion Sunday night with Alex Perry.
Chrissy.
Thanks for joining us.
I like it. That was very, very angry.
Oh,
that
we're
you
still
can't
on the air. Let's go to the traffic.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
And the air is thick. Ooh. With Jackie Gillies from The Real Housewives of Melbourne, who's just departed.
Yeah, I love how she doesn't like the negativity, but by the way, this one's a cow, this one's lying, this one's untruthful, this one says she's coming back, but she's not because she hasn't got a contract. But I hate the negativity.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about it.
Isn't the negativity why people watch that show? Surely. Actually, surely that's yes. really the main draw card.
You are spot on.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Yeah. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Good morning. Good morning, Melbourne.
Good morning. Good morning. What's happening?
I'm a bit puffy in the eyes today, aren't I? It's from crying last night in Long Lost Family.
You did. I did watch it last night, except for the last about 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, when all the good stuff happened.
I was a bit buggered. I went to bed. I said to Coles, can you just let me know what happens the last 10 minutes? But I haven't caught up with her because our little one was sick. So what happened at the end?
Well, in which story? The woman, so last night on Long Lost Family, we reunited an amazing story. A woman was adopted out. We found her birth mother, but in the process of finding her birth mother, we also found her birth father and two full sisters. Mm. Because her parents, they were young and in love. They conceived the baby. They adopted it out. Then they broke up and it was all over. But then they reunited later and continued their life on for many decades of marriage. They
I reckon were married that would for happen 20 a fair years. Bit.
Do you reckon it would have?
I reckon that.
Unbelievable. So this woman, Amanda, who all her life had no biological family at all, she had a beautiful adoptive family, don't get me wrong, but no, you know, full brothers and sisters or anything. All of a sudden, she's got this full family, a family of five, and she's slotted in there. Amazing story.
She would have had a nice peaceful Christmas, but all of a sudden it's out of control.
I know, it is all out of control. She's going to have to get the next size up in the batoki ham, that's for sure.
That's right, exactly. Very good. It was very nice last night. Of course, next year hopefully we'll be back.
Fingers crossed. You know, you never know in this biz, but I'm happy for what happened.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Yes, and here's what you're waking you up to, Melbourne. In the AFL world, Chrissy Swan, finally they may have signed off on the new secrecy laws for the drug testing policy. Now, of course, we saw it a few weeks ago in a lot of controversy when it was alleged that up to 11 Collingwood players had tested positive.
That's sort of gone away a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's gone away. It tested positive for illicit drug taking because in the off-season now, this year, the AFL has decided to trial where they hair test all the players after their off-season break throughout that October mad period.
And my understanding is if they find something, if they come in positive, it's not about, you know, fines or anything. It's just sort of out of interest is why they're doing it.
That's right. It's a monitoring thing, of course, and obviously it's out of interest and the information gets passed on to the club bosses, Chrissy Swan, and obviously then they need to educate their players and say, look, you have a problem here or you don't really have a problem, whatever it may be. But obviously that information goes to CEO and potentially it can get passed on. And as happened with the Collingwood players, a lot came on. It came out, the numbers potentially, whether they're right or wrong, not sure. But now the club bosses, the club CEOs, will have to sign off on a confidentiality agreement, Chrissy Swan, where they will be the only ones that find out the number from the AFL from the off-season hair testing. So
I think that's fair.
That's fair. So it stops all the rumours and all these sorts of things. That's the problem with confidentiality. If you tell too many people, straight away the rumours will be swirling around your football club and everyone gets tarred with the same brush.
Even that's a bit of a, I don't know, I feel like it's a bit of an invasion. I would not like, I mean, I'm clean as a whistle, as boring as anything, but I still would not like to submit a hair test to my boss here. No. I would not like that. I would find that a real invasion.
Mm. Do you not think, though, that the problem with, well, not the problem, but the AFL footballers are in a unique circumstance where even as young men and probably not ready for it, they are role models purely just because of what they do. And because they're out there in the public domain, and because
so are a lot of people,
but I'm not sure as much public acclaim as AFL footballers get, and obviously drugs is a big problem in society. So the AFL's trying to be the leaders. So it's quite. But the other thing, the AFL I think is trying to protect their players because there is some volcanic behaviour in the off season because a lot of the players don't really drink, they don't really go out during the football season.
Yeah.
Then they get to the end of the year, so round 23 or after the grand final, whatever it may be, and bang, it's just the pressure valve releasing.
Yeah.
And then you're getting overseas, you're just going to You're going to have fun. Oh, you're going to cut loose.
And anonymously too, which I think is a big, you know, thrill for them because they can do whatever they want.
Exactly.
There's right, no one going, oh, I just saw Travis Clark with a cigarette outside a pub in Carlton. It's like, oh, my God. That's why they all go. That's why they all head over somewhere else. Hey, here's a thing. Look at this. New studies. Guess how many Australians are consuming enough veggies each day? This is shameful. And I'm in there. Only 4%.
4%.
That means all of us essentially are not having enough veggies.
So you need about, is it about 2 cups a day?
Yes.
Or, yes.
No, it's more than that.
5 cups.
It's five cups a day. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I might do that for one day and just see what that feels like because that seems like a lot of food to me. I can do it with a salad. Like I'll have one big salad a day and I reckon if I loosely pack it, that's 2 cups.
Yeah.
But 5 is a huge amount.
It is a fair bit.
And dairy as well. We're not having anywhere near enough dairy.
Well, the new fatties, the almond milks, the rice milks,
and
the oat milks.
That's right. And there's none of that good stuff in there. There's none of that riboflavin and B12.
I used to love it growing up near me nan's dairy farm. You'd put the bucket right in the straight in the milk vat. And you get it fresh. It was just so creamy.
Well, what's the difference? What's the taste difference? Because I remember on a school excursion, they'd grab the udder and squirt it into your mouth. Of course, you'd be sued if you did that now to the kids.
Well, you know, like the double thick cream. It's like having a layer of that on top of your milk. It's beautiful. None of this watered down stuff.
Oh, my God. Can you still buy the delicious dollop? Delicious. I'm salivating just thinking about it.
Just think of that. It's like putting a dollop in the top of your milk in the morning. So there you go.
I'm going to try and have 5 cups of fruit, of veg today. I'm going to tell you how I go tomorrow. 5 cups.
It's too much veg.
It's not too much. That's what we should be eating. Okay. That's the problem. People like you saying it's too much.
Dino, you've been looking after yourself. You've lost a lot of weight recently. Sure, you would have been eating vegetables.
Yeah, since we started, 18 kilos, not bragging. but no, it's just high protein for me. I don't eat that many veggies. So, yeah, I'm bad.
We'll get to it.
Have 5 with me.
Okay.
All right.
Right, all the best for that, guys. I've been doing it since about the age of 2.
See, look at that.
There you go.
That song, Turn Around. Here's a fun fact for you. It was sung by Lamal.
What was it for?
Never-ending Story, the movie. Lamal was the lead singer of Kaja Gugu, who was actually the brainchild of one of the members of Duran Duran. There you go. Mm. Fun fact. Now I'm going to tell you a story. Let's go back in time, shall we?
Yes.
Some of the funniest times of my life have been with my mother, Patty Swan. Like, hands down. Wet your pants, literally wet your pants stuff, because she is bona fide nuts.
Your nana.
She is off the charts bonkers, right?
She's always been a bit of a whack job.
Yeah. Yes, she has.
All the way through.
All the way through. That is a question.
G'day, Patty.
I've actually asked that exact question to my dad. She always a total whack job. But a nice, innocent, you know, well-meaning whack job, okay? Yes.
That's bubble wrap, by the way.
That's bubble wrap, yes. Sounds like we're burning her at the stake. She's not that mad. Anyway, so let's go back to mid-90s, mm-hmm. And she's just moved into a house in Camberwell. And I'm with her, and I'm helping her rearrange furniture, right? So we had this couch that it must have been, you know, born in the prehistoric age, because every photo this goddamn couch is in it. It was a velvet modular 80s, 70s thing. Ugh. It was amazing, so comfortable. And she'd brought it to this new house because it was her couch. So the modular idea is genius because you can just move it in any sort of formation. You can have a 2-seater, 3-seater, a big L-shaped 8-seater. You know, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
So we were trying to work out how this couch best worked in this room in the new house. It's a Victorian house, so the classic design of a great big hallway down the middle into a big living room. Okay. You know, like it wells into a big living room at the end. So She is nude at this stage, okay, because my whole life, she's been nude.
What picture have you got in your head, Dana?
Well, if you've got Scotch eggs, what does Patty have?
Oh, no, she's in good nick, mate.
Whoa.
Yeah, don't you worry. Don't worry. So she's nude. She's always been nude. As long as I can remember, she's just been nude at home. And so she was nude in this case, and we're shoveling, and it's hot work. So you want to get your gear up. We're moving all these things around different formations. Anyway, we get this one formation, and I go, I reckon this works. I think this is good. She's like, yeah.
Is it around the TV or no TV?
There was a TV, and it had a good view of the TV, good access. You didn't have to walk around it to get into the kitchen behind it. It was just in the right spot, I thought. And she said, well, it is in the right spot. However, what about, darling, if you're walking down the hallway at full clip.
Full clip?
Full clip.
In the nude?
And I said, what do you mean? She goes, I'll show you. So she hoots up the hallway, and then she's coming. What she can see, the view from the hallway, through the hallway, door, and she sees the back of the couch right at that. It blocks, you know, in a way. So she goes, what I'm worried about is if I trip over it, I might hurt myself. So she's walking at full clip down the hallway. And I'm watching it unfold, and she goes, see, what if I'm not really concentrating and I come through the hallway and I just sort of hit the couch like that. With that, she does a full somersault roll over the couch.
Kamenichi style.
Kamenichi style. And then slaps like that. On the floor, it made a slapping sound because she's completely nude. She's laying in front of the couch, nude on her back, and she's like, I think we're going to have to move the couch if this happens again. I actually weed my pants.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. That her hypothetical situation, she reenacted it so well that she actually did
it. She did it. It makes it even better that she was in good nick, Dana.
She was in good nick.
Brown, do the swans wear clothes is what I want to know. Every story involves
Oh, mate, it's I could open the nude files.
Hey.
There are so many nude stories.
You'd be going to buy the house next door. You'd easy sell, wouldn't it?
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
Oh, I love this story because I really am a big fan of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. I thought they were a beautiful couple, three gorgeous kids, one with little glasses. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor was on last night.
Was it?
It was on TV.
Are they in that together? Is that where they fell in love?
During your ad break of Long Lost Family, I was flicking through the movie channels and I whacked it onto a beautiful scene of Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck having a pash.
Aren't they beautiful?
I went over and went to give Carl's one. I just got the hand in the face. Get away from me.
Oh, I understand that. Nothing worse. Hey, so Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner, they're split up, right? Which was sad for me because I just thought they were, you know, an example of everything that was good and holy in matrimony. And now he wants her back.
Ooh. Is that right?
She's not going to go back, though, because you can't. Your husband has sex with the nanny. Sorry, you can't. Because then every time you hire a babysitter, you're like, are you going to sleep with her? Because if you are, I'm going to dock her pay.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
There's a bit of
history there. When we ask Tony to do his impersonation of Arnie, we'll have to ask him about that.
Yes, we will.
Going with the nanny.
Because sleeping
Arnie
with the help.
Arnie had a child with the nanny.
Yes. Mm. If you're not following, that's all right. No one is. Paris Hilton. Do you remember her?
Yes. Millsy.
She is. Word association with Paris Hilton.
Spring Carnival.
It was Spring Carnival in about 1904. Paris Hilton is reportedly pitching an unflinching documentary of her life at the moment to the peeps in Cannes.
She has gone quiet last few years.
Yes, because she's so boring and no one cares. But she's trying to, you know, get relevant again. She's saying a statement says Paris Hilton is a modern-day Marilyn Monroe, beautiful, iconised. I think that might be iconized. Verb of the week. World famous, shaped by mass media and misunderstood.
Mm.
And also utterly irrelevant and pointless.
Well, hang on a minute, mate.
And devoid of talent.
She was the one that started. The Kardashians are massive. They're doing reality stuff. Yes. I reckon Hilton was the start of it. The Hiltons, weren't they?
Yeah, well,
didn't
they
do that before the Kardashians really took off?
Whose tape was first? Paris or Kim?
I believe Paris's were first.
Yeah.
I think Paris's was first, yeah.
Well, what are the Kardashians famous for?
Yeah, nothing. I'm not saying that they are. I'm just saying, come on, we don't really want a movie of Paris Hilton's life. Do we?
No.
Depends.
Oh, yeah.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Can I tell you something's happening in our fair city? It involves a sex chamber. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I have zero interest in anything to do with sex.
What is a sex chamber?
Let alone a sex chamber. It's a sex chamber, and what you'd think about, I suppose, like of whips and 50 Shades of Grey and stuff.
In your basement, yeah.
Yeah, no. This one is called an eco-sexual bathhouse.
Oh.
And you go in there and it's got, like, masks with grass on it and you make out with dirt and
what?
You lick flowers. That's not a euphemism. It's actually licking a flower. Now, I'm sorry.
Because it was last year, there was in the news stories where people would make love to their cars.
I have heard that. I've heard about a woman that's married to a bridge.
A bridge.
I say all is love, or all is fair in love and war. But I could not be bothered with this. Bioeroticism.
Right.
With plants and dirt. I have a hard enough time getting in the mood for a real life breathing man who I love.
A chippy.
Let alone
lager.
a pansy and a fistful of soil.
Righto, what would be your go-to? What's your go-to? You going for the roses?
Mate,
are you going for the gardenias or just the gum tree?
Unpack the dishwasher and I'm yours.
Get more Chrissy, Sam and Brownie on Facebook and Instagram. Made for Melbourne. Nova.